For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Cooper McKim. On a Sunday morning last October, the sky was black as rain fell hard around the office building at Columbia's wastewater treatment plant. The sound you're hearing is the rush of sewage through one of the plant's basins. Nearly 20 employees sit around a meeting table on the second floor, trying to make a decision. Would they close the plant, keep it going with operators, keep it going without? It was starting to look bad out there. David Wyman is the superintendent.
The plant turned into an island. All of this was underwater. You couldn't get to the plant. We couldn't get chemicals in. We couldn't get our sludge out.
Rainwater was causing a huge spike in liquids in their system. On a regular day, the plant treats 33 million gallons of sewage. The day of the meeting, during what turned out to be October's historic flood, they saw a daily total of 156 million. The state's Environmental Health Department, DHEC, called them up.
And so they told us we would strongly consider shutting down the plant and evacuating.
By this point, most of the other treatment plants in the area had closed down. Wyman wasn't ready for that. If they evacuated, there would be consequences for the whole city. At best, the plant would send semi-treated sewage into the Congaree River. At worst, sewage would back up into the streets of Columbia, where flood victims were currently wading through to safety.
Think about all of the scenes back in the flood, when you witnessed all the people that were actually in those waters, saving people, saving pets, trying to get things out of homes. All of that water is carrying raw sewage.
The last and most worrisome issue was the possibility of the adjacent dike breaking. Along the Congaree River, there's a massive wall meant to keep rising waters at bay. Wyman was worried that that might break inside their plant.
If it had actually breached within the plant and all of the water that poured through here had poured in here, we probably would have been looking at a major calamity.
These were the issues weighing on all 20 employees sitting in the command center in the wastewater treatment plant's office building. Soon, they came to a decision.
So I suggested that we evacuate everybody, but we leave a skeleton crew.
Wyman had come up with an action plan that a small crew could execute if anyone was willing to stay.
Out of the folks we had here, these four individuals, all of them said, without hesitation, yeah, we volunteer for that.
The small group included Adrian Martin, Brandon Wilcox, Ashley Dove, and James Faust. Martin is one of the plant's chief operators. He says he didn't feel too concerned for his safety at the time.
Staying here and all that didn't even factor into it at that point. We were more worried about everyone else outside of the plant.
So the emergency meeting disbanded, and soon it was just these four operators left to manage the biggest wastewater treatment plant in the state. The action plan was simple: treat the sewage as best they can and get it into the river. Brandon Wilcox was one of the four operators.
It wouldn't take long for us to start sending some water into the river with high bacterial levels, so I was trying to make sure best I could to keep everything within normal ranges.
All four scrambled throughout the command post, ensuring nothing was overflowing or malfunctioning. At one point, though, the last basin before treated water reaches the river was having issues.
At the high point of the flood, when it started backing up in here, this entire structure was almost completely underwater.
Wilcox and Martin said the experience was a matter of maintenance and putting out little fires whenever they came up. For example, they had little access to chemicals to treat the sewage.
Because the road was flooded out, we couldn't get chemicals in, so we had to go down to our bare base minimum. So we were running samples over and over and over again to make sure that we were meeting the minimum requirements that we needed.
After two sleepless nights, the water started to settle, and the National Guard stepped in. They helped pull the four out from the plant and onto a nearby highway. It turns out the crew was successful on many counts. No sewage backed up into the city, no sewage leaked into the river, none in the public water system, and, as it turns out, they even kept sewage within the legal limits of contaminants that weekend, despite their lack of chemicals. This past July, the four were given the National Water Heroes Award for, quote, actions that prevented raw sewage from pouring into the river, surrounding neighborhoods, and city streets, unquote. Martin is humbled, but he doesn't think he did anything too special.
I don't think so. We all felt like we were just doing our jobs.
Yeah,
and I have no doubt in my mind, had it not been these crews that were here, or they would have stayed just as easy.
Nevertheless, the crew has received gratitude from the whole water community. Jay Nicholson is the general manager of the Joint Municipal Water and Sewer Commission.
heroes doesn't do them justice. Those guys are heroes in the truest sense, in terms of they didn't do it for recognition. They did it because their sense of purpose to the environment and the communities that we serve is that way, and it's that way every day.
Martin says it is that way every day. They got into wastewater treatment not for the money, but because they care about the environment. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Cooper McKim.